Okay, we continue in the Shari Teshuvah, the Gates of Repentance, from Rabbeinu Yonah. We are on Ikar HaChamisha Asor, the 15th principle out of the 20 principles. It's Sif Mem Aleph, 41, and it's on page 44 and 45. Ha'ikar HaChamisha Asor HaTfilah.
54 and 55.
What did I say?
54.
54 and 55. Ikra Chamisha Asor, the 15th principle is Hatefila, prayer. Yispalo Hashem vivakesh rachamim l'chaper es kol avoynasov. Person must pray to God and request mercy from him that he should atone for all your sins. Shenemar, as it says, Kichu imachem divarim, vishuvu el Hashem, imru elov kol tisa avon, vekach tov, unishalma forim sefaseinu. That's a pasuk in Hosea. So let's go over every part of this pasuk here. Kichu imachem divarim, just what do the simple words mean? Take with you words, the prophet is telling Jewish people, take with you words, vishuvu el Hashem, and return to Hashem. Imru elav, say to him, what did you say to Hashem? Kol tisa avon, forgive all sins, v'kach tov, and take that which is good, unishalma farim svaseinu, so that we will be able to offer, to pay back and give the animal offerings of our lips. So what does all that mean? So now he tells you what it means. What's the first clause mean? Take with yourself words. Zet inyan havidui. This is the confession. You have to confession. And then obviously, shuvu el Hashem and return to Hashem. It's part of the tshuva process. But that's not the part we want to focus on for today. The part is the next part. Imru elav. Speak to him. Speak to Hashem. Interesting. When you did the vidui, k'hu imachem devarim ze vidui, you're not talking to Hashem. And that makes sense. Because, you know, vidui never really is confessing to someone else. It's confessing to yourself. If you notice, you see what the Navi is saying? K'hu imachem, take with yourself words, say vidui. But it's not imrei love and speak to him. You're not talking to him yet. As we said last week, the idea of the vidui is to vomit out of your system, expel from your system the sins you've done. You don't have to talk to Hashem to do that. You do that yourself. In these first 14 steps, you're not even ready to talk to Hashem yet. But now it says, Imre Elov, you speak to him, Kol Tisa Avon V'Kach Tov, to forgive all the sins and take the good. Ze inyuna tefila. This is the aspect of tefila. We are speaking to Hashem. Now we have to understand, we'll get to this a little later on, what's the idea of, well, we understand the first part, kol tisa avon, to forgive all sins. That's what we understand. What's the next part? Vekach tov, and take the good. And allow the, and we will complete the animal offerings of our lips. Okay, that's all for more later on. But let's just focus on this first part now. Rabbeinu Yonah is saying that a baal tshuva, a person who's doing tshuva, needs to daven. You need to pray. Which means that even though the person is going through the tshuva process, and you've done a lot of painful steps so far, nevertheless, there's a necessity to pray. And the question is why? Why do you need to pray? So on a simple level, Rabbeinu Yonah says, a person has to ask Hashem for forgiveness. You have to, up to this point, you haven't asked Hashem for forgiveness. You've done all kinds of different things. You've regretted. You've shown a lot of anguish and anxiety and all these different terminologies we've gone through. And you've physically shown that you feel bad about these things. You've cried. You've done a number of things. But now it's time to turn to Hashem and say, Hashem, will you please forgive me? So now, of course, the 14 steps before were a crucial mechanism of the return of the person, and that makes a change in the person happen. But after, we assume at this point in time, you've changed. Right? So we also now have to talk about acquiring forgiveness for what we have done. And we're acquiring forgiveness for what has been done, that needs prayer. Because you have to ask for it. If you hurt somebody's feeling, you order them and you ask them to forgive you. In a certain way, that's prayer too. You're making a request. You're saying to the person, will you please forgive me? Please not hold a grudge against me. So the same thing with Hashem. Now we're ready to turn to Hashem. And we're saying, Hashem, you know, I need atonement. I need forgiveness. Please forgive me. So on the simplest level, the concept of asking for forgiveness means that, and this is a very interesting concept that it may not have dawned on us till now. But if we're asking Hashem for forgiveness, it means the entire process of tshuva is a kindness on God's part. You know, since it's a kindness on God's part, it's something we have to ask for. In other words, what is the mistaken notion that Rabbeinu Yonah is trying to take away from us? Is that a person can mistakenly think that he's done the steps of tshuva, and that's it. I'm clean, I'm good. And now God, I've done these steps, here. I'm submitting my tshuva card, sign on the dotted line, approved. And everything's fine. That's what we think. And no, that's not the case. Because after the whole process of tshuva, a person has to realize that his being forgiven and not being held accountable, that you can reach back to levels of purity that you once had before. After everything is said and done, it's a process of chesed, of kindness on Hashem's part. Hashem has to exhibit a kindness for all this to happen. The fact is that even for an act of kindness on Hashem's part, a certain amount of fundamental preparation is required, and that was the 14 steps beforehand. And a person should never think that after you finish the 14 steps, that you can demand forgiveness. I demand that you forgive me. That's not the case. It's up and coming because you're preparing yourself for the chesed of teshuva. You prepare yourself to be the worthy recipient of the chesed of what teshuva is all about. That's what's happening here. Hashem does forgive through this process. Yes, it's true. He will forgive you, but it is a chesed. If that's so, then a person has to realize that you have to ask for it and you don't demand it. And this is why the function of prayer is so crucial at this point in the game. You understand? What's going on over here? It's not a given. It's not an automatic. I've done the steps. You have to forgive me. Hashem, it's all a kindness on his part. And really got to think about that when we're dealing in interpersonal relationships with people. When you want someone to forgive you, really it's a kindness on their part too. And you have to really beseech them. You have to beg them to forgive you, and hopefully they will. So this is on a simple level. This is all a very simple level to realize. So don't start talking to Hashem till you're really ready. Have cleaned up your act. I mean, we've done 14 steps already. We're more than 2/3 of the way there. So unless you've regretted it and all these different things. Right? Don't even start that. You could talk to Hashem and you could say, I've been a lousy person. Help me. And there's lots of things to prayer. But, ultimately the final point is, okay, I've done the teshuva. All that's left is for you to forgive me. That's one aspect of prayer. We'll see there's other aspects of prayer. But this is a critical aspect of prayer. Okay, that's on a simple level. Now, to take it to a bit of a deeper level. So now, where's the source of the Baal Teshuva to pray? So we quoted a pasuk from Hosea, the prophet Hosea. Now let's digress for a moment, and this word is from Rav Huttner. How do we know in general that we have to pray every day? We're going to pray this morning. Why do we pray? What pasuk tells we have to pray? So it says it many times in the Torah. It says you serve Hashem. It says in the Shema, you serve Hashem with all your heart and all your soul. So how do you serve Hashem with your heart? The Gemara asks. Serving Hashem with your heart, that is prayer. That's a pasuk in Dvarim. It says you have to serve Hashem with all your soul. That means you have to pray. So we have a pasuk for prayer in general. And we have a pasuk in Hosea for tshuva, tefillah for tshuva. So the question now is, why is the pasuk for the Baal tshuva's requirement to daven any different than the overall requirement to daven? In other words, you got to daven for what you need every day, right? You're going to daven this morning. Fine, you're going to daven what you need. Good. So let's say before Yom Kippur or any day, you daven to Hashem that He should accept your tshuva. That should be part and parcel of the original pasuk. The original pasuk is to serve Hashem with all your heart. Okay, that means I daven every day. What do you daven for? Daven for the things you need. Okay, so now I'm going to daven for one more thing I need. Hashem, accept my tshuva. Finished. And what do we? So we need a whole new pasuk from Hosea. Why? Why do we need it for? Just like everything else he asked for. I mean, that's a real good question on Rabbeinu Yonah. He could have said, "Okay, you daven, and we'll go with the old pasuk. We'll go with the old pasuk. Oh, we even have to bring a pasuk for." Of course, okay, you're davening to Hashem, you're asking it, fine, we already have a pasuk on the books, and we use the pasuk on the books. So if we ask such a question, Rufutner says, it points out our lack of understanding of what the whole world of the Baal Tshuva is all about. Now let's explain. For example, we know there are the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmin, the 13 attributes of mercy. Which we utter as also a prayer of forgiveness, and whose history comes from the sin of the golden calf. And the point being that Hashem says that whenever you perform this service, this formula of prayer, Hashem says, will never go unanswered. This is something Hashem revealed to Moshe. So what are the first two attributes? Hashem, Hashem. That's how it starts. Hashem, Hashem, Kelrachum, V'chanan. Hashem, Hashem. So the Gemara says, Hashem, Hashem, it's the same thing. So the Gemara says, no. The first Hashem is, I am the Hashem before you sin. And the second Hashem, I'm Hashem after you sinned and you've done tshuva. Now, the truth is we talked about this at great length in our Tomer Dvorah class. And you could look that up in our, I forgot the English term we gave the Torah Chronicles, I think like Kabbalistic understanding of relationships or something like that. It's on our website. And we discussed this point in a different way, but on a simple level, what does this mean? What does it mean? I'm the God before you sin, I'm the God after you sin. So the word Hashem, the Yud-Heh and the Vav-Heh, what aspect of Hashem is this relating to? It's relating to the aspect of Hashem, Hoya, Hova, V'yeh, was, is, and will be. That He's a Mahaveh, He brings things into reality. So within the Yud Kei Vav Kei, name of Hashem, is the concept of the fact that Hashem is the one who created the heavens and the earth. He's the creator. And that itself is the greatest kindness that Hashem could have done. The name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, that is God's attribute of kindness. So an attribute of kindness before a person sins is an attribute of kindness after a person sins. But the Yud Kei Vav Kei is the name of Hashem in reference to Him being a creator, which is a kindness on His part. So there is this God that we speak of that created the world, and that world exists for you and me until we sin. And, you know, we relate to God that created a world for us. And that's the first Hashem. That's the first Hashem, the Hashem before you sin. And that is Rachamim. It's compassion, it's kindness. He created a world for us. We wake up every morning, Hashem's created a world for us. Every day. Hashem creates a world for us with great opportunities. All you can get throughout the whole day is only good. It's up to you. The whole day, you can daven, you can learn, you can do chesed, and you just rack up the points. It's unbelievable. And that's a tremendous kindness on Hashem's part.
We're talking about the golden calf sin, or are we talking about the Adam sin?
No, the golden calf sin, the 13.
What about Adam? That doesn't...
We didn't have the 13. The 13 midos were given after the sin of the golden calf.
But Hashem was the creator. At that point, he created...
I understand. I'm just explaining what's going on over here of these principles of Hashem's mercy. They always existed.
Right.
But Hashem revealed it to Moshe at this time.
Okay.
They always existed. Didn't just start to exist after the golden calf. These are eternal attributes of Hashem. But for whatever reason, Hashem chose that at this point in time, Hashem will reveal it to mankind.
Okay.
Right? So we relate to Hashem as a creator of the world. Fine. But technically speaking, when a person does an Avera, and you sin, as we mentioned earlier in Rabbeinu Yonah, and that means every sin contains a certain degree of rebelling against Hashem. So Hashem created a world for you out of kindness. But when you sin and you rebel against Hashem, what would the king do to such a person? He'd end your world. That world should cease for you. And that God that we know and relate to vis-a-vis the world we live in, that was created by God, that should really vanish from the scene for this person. It should, Hashem say, it's all over. And that would be the correct way of expressing Hashem's reaction to what has gone on over here. Finished. I created the world for you, and you messed it up. A little bit like first man sin. You were in Gan Eden, you sinned, out. That world I created for you does not exist anymore. You lost it. And the same thing, we should lose this world. So that should happen. Really should happen. You go to a king, you go to a flesh of a king, and you rebel against the king, what happens? Everything's fine. Off with your head. That world is over. You're finished. You're out of this world. Huh? You don't live in this world. You don't live in the world where you rebel against the king. And you should be killed instantly. That world, and I invested all that energy. I gave you so many wonderful things. I gave you good health. I gave you relationships with people. I give you all good. And what do? You go and go criminal offenses against the kingdom. Out. That aspect of Hashem, that first level of Hashem, that was a kindness I gave to you. It was compassion. It was wonderful. And now you sinned, and it should be you're out. For that, we need the second Hashem. The second Hashem, I'm the Hashem after you sin. So what Rav Huttner says is what Hashem does for you, he recreates the entire world for this person who returns. Hashem has to create a new world for this person. Because the old world is destroyed, as it were. Your right to live in the world is gone after you never. Hashem is, so to speak, creating a brand new world. And in the same way that you need a whole great God to create this first world out of nothingness, how did God create the world? He created the world Yesh Me'ayim. He created something out of nothing, which was an incredible miracle, the miracle of creation. That miracle from the beginning of creation he did for each and every one of us. So you needed Hashem for that. And you need a powerful God to do that, to create that for you. So the Baal Tshuva who returns, there is again... Hashem brings into being all the powers of creation to recreate a world for this person that has been destroyed by him up to this point. So Hashem, we're talking about God as the creator, and there's one world that is created for the person up until he sins, and after he sins, he has to have a recreation for his whole world, and that's the second Hashem, Hashem la'achas yichta v'yashuv, after he sins and he does teshuvah. Therefore, when a Baal Teshuvah stands before Hashem and asks for forgiveness, he isn't asking at this point in time to be successful in business. He's not asking for health. He's not asking for happiness. What is the Baal Teshuvah asking for? He's asking Hashem to recreate a world for him. That's what you're asking for. Okay? Now that can't be coming out of the same pasuk as how we regularly learn that we have to daven every day. The pasuk of to serve Hashem b'chol levavchem with all your heart And that is avodah shebelevis tefillah. So the regular person is speaking to Hashem after Hashem has already created the world for him. Hashem has created a world for you already. So now, every day, the person says, listen, the world is here. It's been given to me. So you say, Hashem, please bless me with this world that you made. Bless me with what I need. And I'm not asking Hashem to recreate a whole new world for me. You've already created the world. Okay, I'd like my share. I'd like my share. I want to be able to serve you properly. Give me my share of parnasa from this world you created, the share of health. Right. And that's the pasuk in the Shema, to serve Hashem with all your heart. And Hashem will give you of that world which you already were put into. That's regular prayer. But the Baal Teshuva isn't asking for just another one of his needs. The Baal Teshuva is asking that Hashem should give him back a world that technically ended for him at the time of his Avera, when he sinned. And he says, give me another chance at the whole new world that you're going to give me. Now that needs a whole new pasuk. The old pasuk doesn't apply, as we're dealing with a completely different request. And this is the concept of the tefillah of the Baal Teshuva. Now, you understand the difference? I mean, one, and we'll explain it more when we get to the next point. But, you know, the person who's a sinner, his whole world is dark. He's you know, you're going to say, what are you talking about? I'm alive. I'm alive anyway. You're not alive. You're not alive. If a person's deep into sin, you're not alive. And you're going down a terrible path, and you've already gone out of the world. That's what we've already learned. The Gemara says the world was created with the letter Hey. The world was created with the letter Hey, whatever that means mystically. But the idea of the Hey is that it's open on the bottom. And if you're not careful, you fall right out of the world. You fall right out of the world. You're out of the world. Perkei Avos says three things take a person out of his world. Take you, motzina sodom in oilam, take you out of the world. Right? Arrogance, taiva, right? Those things take you out of the world. You're not in this world that God created for you. A person who always, you know, an arrogant person, he's not living in God's world. He's not living in God's world. That's not the world that God created for him. God created a world for you to be at peace, for you to be relaxed, feeling good about being alive, feeling close to Hashem. You're an arrogant person. You think everything's coming to you. And of course, you get angry at Hashem all the time. And then you hurt people and do all kinds of affairs in the wake of that arrogance. And you say, what kind of God created such a world that I get stuck in traffic every day? Right? Instead of looking at all the kindness that Hashem gives you, you're living in a different world. It's not that world anymore. That world that Hashem made for you, that's gone, baby. You're not in that world. You're in a very sour world, totally disconnected from Hashem. And now you want to get back into God's world. It doesn't happen like that. You need Hashem to help you get back into that world, to recreate a positive world for you. Right? Now we can only understand this based on the first premise we said, that the process of asking forgiveness from Hashem is ultimately a chesed from Hashem that you're asking for. And now you can understand it's the biggest chesed in the world, Hashem. Just like you created the whole world to begin with, and I went, and I've destroyed that world. So Hashem, I asked you to create a new world just for me. A brand new world. I think there's such a Niggun epis from Disney. It's a whole new world epis, something like that. I don't know. Hashem, you're asking for a whole new world. Give me the world back that I misused before. Right? This is the context of the Baal Teshuva's prayer. It's a very, very important concept that he's saying over here. Because for you to be happy again, and to be connected and all these things that you're supposed to be, you know, you need Hashem's help for that. That's not going to come automatically just because I feel sorry. It's not going to come back. You've got to have to Hashem, Hashem, give me entrance into that world. So that you have to daven to Hashem. That's point number one. Okay, now, let's continue in Rabbeinu Yonah. We're only going to go a little bit further, and we're going to have to explain more now. So that explains the first part. That explains when it says, V'imru elov, speak to him. Got to speak to Shem and ask him for this. Then the next couple words, Uperish, what do the words mean? Vekach tov, and take the good. What do we say to Hashem? We're saying to Hashem, forgive us, and take the good. What does take the good mean? He says, Ma'ase hatov sha'asinu. Take the good things we have done. What does that mean? And here's a very powerful concept. Ki amar Rabbi Senu Zichron Levracha, because our rabbis of blessed memory said the following. Avera mechaba mitzvah. An avera extinguishes a mitzvah. When a person does teshuva, yiskap ravonos, the sins are forgiven, they're atoned for. V'tis orer schus ha-mitzvah, the merit of the mitzvah he did before that got extinguished is aroused, it wakes up. V'yoir ne'ra, and it illuminates its candle, its light. Acharei asher lo higia ora lifnei ha-tshuva. For which he did, was not, its light was not able to reach before the teshuva happened. Okay. And then, and v'chein kosov, and he brings a pasuk in Eov to prove the point. The pasuk in Eov says, im zach v'yosher atah, if you are pure and straight, ki atah yo'ir elecha. And now, it will awaken upon you. V'shilam nevas tzidkecha, and it will give you a very pleasant habitation for your righteousness. And then he goes on and explains that whole pasuk, which we'll get into. But we have to explain what is he talking about over here. It's a very, very important point. It's really, he's bringing it into the point of prayer. But even without it, it's a very important point. But with the prayer, we'll see how he fits it into the prayer. What's Rebbe Yonah saying? He's saying, before you do tshuva, all the mitzvahs that you've done, he used the expression, they lose their shine. They get extinguished. And after you do tshuva, those mitzvahs, reflame. Right? So in other words, when the avera extinguishes a mitzvah, it's only temporary. The shine can come back after tshuva. So it comes to get a double advantage of tshuva. The demerits of your averas go off, and the mitzvah credits go back in. Now we know there's a concept in the Torah that God doesn't take any bribery. And God doesn't take bribery for mitzvahs you do. You can't say to God, okay, I'm going to do up 50,000 mitzvahs. It will cancel the 40,000 averos, and I've got a net gain of 10,000 mitzvahs, so let's call it a day. The 40,000 averos, let's just forget about them. I got 10,000 extra mitzvahs, so I'm happy if you just reward me for the 10,000 mitzvahs. That's not how it works in Yiddishkeit. The 40,000 averos are there, and if you don't do anything about them, they ain't going away. You got to find a way to get rid of them. And those 50,000 mitzvahs, wait a minute, you're telling me now, but wait, it seems to be the opposite. You're telling me that the averes have extinguished the mitzvahs. So what's going on over here? How is it possible? It seems to be the opposite of what we're saying. There's no concept, but in Judaism we don't believe that. There's no concept of a mitzvah destroying an avera or an avera destroying a mitzvah. We don't believe. For example, you did 50,000 averes and 40,000 mitzvahs. So Hashem will say, okay, I'll only punish you for 10,000 averes and the rest is finished. No, we don't do that either. You have a mitzvah, you deserve a reward for a mitzvah. Now we're saying the avera extinguishes the mitzvah. It seems to be the opposite of what Yiddishkeit believes. Now, granted, in determining the final decision, how does Hashem decide if you're a tzaddik or rasha? Well, he goes the way he weights it. Do you have more mitzvahs or more averas? That is that's like one level. And on one level, Hashem, okay, if you have many more mitzvahs, you're a tzaddik. Many more averas in Russia. But then Hashem goes back to each and every one of the mitzvahs and averas and deals with each and every one of them. But it seems from over here, there's a concept that the avera is extinguishing the mitzvahs. So how do we understand that, even if it's not everlasting and irrevocable, but what does that mean? So to understand this, if we look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam in the seventh parak of Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Zayin, 7-7, he says, how exalted are the levels of Teshuva. He says, yesterday, before Tshuva, you were separated from Hashem. As the Pasuk says, your sins are separate you between you and Hashem. You cried out in your state of Avera, and Hashem doesn't answer you. You did mitzvahs, and Hashem is ripping them up in front of your face. Right? And then you do tshuva, v'hayoyim, and today, you're now clinging to the divine presence. You cry out, and Hashem answers right away. You do mitzvahs, and Hashem accepts them with pleasure and with joy. And not only that, but Hashem is yearning for those, that tshuva that you do. So what's the Rambam saying? That in the state of sin, Hashem, I'm not interested in you. You do tshuva, Hashem takes everything back from you. What does all that mean? What does that mean? So it means the following. Every time you do a mitzvah or an avera, it defines the relationship that you have with Hashem. That you have with Hashem. So there's two issues in every mitzvah we have to be cognizant of, and for every avera for that matter. Number one, when you do a mitzvah, there is an aspect of growth that comes from a mitzvah. You know, a simple level, a person gets involved in the mitzvah of tzedakah. So, you know, it's a mitzvah. You got to work on that mitzvah. You learn what it's all about, why it's so good for you, and then you start giving, and you give, and you give. And that mitzvah produces that you become a person that now has more integrated chesed into your being. And you now are a charitable person, and you have grown in this area. And that happens every time you do a mitzvah sincerely. You grow in that area. That's an amazing thing. But there's a second aspect of a mitzvah. And what is that? How it defines the person's relationship with Hashem. The fact that you're doing Hashem's mitzvahs, what kind of relationship do you have with Hashem now that you do these mitzvahs? So hopefully, it's improving that relationship with Hashem. See how much I love you, Hashem? I've given $50,000 of tzedakah this year. My hard-earned money, 10% of my money, I've given it to tzedakah, alavai, we should all be able to do that. And look how much I care for you. I could have spent it on myself. And you want me to do this, and I'm listening to you because I love you, and that's why I'm giving the tzedakah. That's amazing, and Hashem loves you back. So there's two aspects. You are now a kinder, more considerate person. You've developed that Tzelem Elokim. The potential has been developed. You've grown through this mitzvah. And not only have you grown, but now you have established a stronger relationship with Hashem. Right? So now, when we talk about the light of a mitzvah, what is the light of a mitzvah? What does that mean? It, in fact, the mitzvah is shining and making clear, and you're seeing this relationship with Hashem that you're accepting upon yourself the need to serve Hashem. It's this concept of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, accepting the yoke of heaven. You're setting yourself up in a way that you understand that you're a servant of Hashem, and your existence and your meaning in life comes from the fact that you endeavor to be a servant of Hashem, and you want to be a servant of Hashem. And that's what the Gemara says, Godel ha-mitzuvah va'oise yoise mishe'en ha-mitzuvah va'oise. A person gets more reward if he's commanded to do a mitzvah than a person who was not commanded to do a mitzvah. Do you think that's counterintuitive? What do you mean? If I have to do it, I'm doing what I have to do. If I didn't have to do it, I must be a bigger, better guy. So Rabbi Sol Salanter explains that's not so. If you're commanded to do something, there's a certain concern and worry that perhaps I'm not performing what I have to do. I have a responsibility. Right? Will it get done? Won't it get done? Guy's got to have a mincha, the sun's coming down. Am I going to make it for mincha? I'm not going to make it. You know, you're getting a little bit anxious. You know, there's a lot of worry that goes behind an obligation. And it's all that worry and all that concern that goes behind that obligation which makes the person's reward that much greater. than the person who's done it without worry, without concern, because he wasn't obliged to do it. You know, he's obliged to do it. Okay, I could be a nice guy. If I got time, I do it. Don't got time, I don't do it. What I got to worry about? As opposed to you got to get it done. Right? That's why the Yetzer Hara works so much harder to make sure you don't do the things you got to get done. Things you don't got to get done, it makes it easier for you to do it. Okay? So now, Rabbi Shaul Sansar asks like this, so what happens if a person does a mitzvah and doesn't have any worry and concern about it getting done, but it just happens to get done? Yeah, it doesn't, but there wasn't any worry behind it. So he says a fantastic idea. He says it's the reward for that, even though it's a mitzvah you're commanded to do, but if you don't have that worry and concern, that understanding that I have a responsibility that I have to fulfill, you don't have that, you're rewarded like a person who was not commanded in that mitzvah. In other words, you know, you're davening chakras. You're commanded to daven chakras. Commanded to daven chakras. What kind of reward are you going to get? Depends how concerned you were to get it done. See, if you go to bed and you say, I gotta daven tomorrow. And it better be a good davening. I got the alarm set plenty early. I'm worried. Chas v'shalom, I should miss davening. I say, chas v'shalom, I should oversleep the alarm. And then I have to do a quick 20-minute davening in the house. That ain't gonna cut it. Because I have responsibility. And you're afraid you're gonna oversleep. So what does that mean? It means those mitzvahs are important to me. Hashem is important to me. My relationship to Hashem is important to me. And how do you know it? Because look how concerned I am that I should do it. So that Hashem, so that's the light of the mitzvah. That is a part, that's where the relationship gets strengthened. It's because there's a concern. The guy says, you know, I got daven tomorrow. I won't set the alarm. If I get up, I get up. I don't get up, I don't get up. Oh, I got up today. You know, if I feel strong in the morning, I'll get up. And if I feel tired, I roll over. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, it's been a long time since it happened, even for me to give the class. My greatest nightmare is to wake up in the morning and it says 6:15. For me, it's a nightmare. I'm so scared to be late. I mean, first of all, it's the wrongest thing to do. If anybody else is bothering to get up at 5:30 to come at 6 o'clock, and I'm not there, so what are you guys supposed to do? I mean, I do like kind of give the class. So it's not going to be easy for someone just to step in and just give the class. So it means I made you get up for no reason, which is terrible. It's like it was a god enough of your time. So it's like a terrifying feeling, right? So it happens. Baruch Hashem, it hasn't happened in a long time. But I'm all. You can count it on your hand. And what happens, it sits back, oh, like it's like a whole, it's just all sour. You know, and therefore when I get up sometimes, you know, even this morning, it's like a reoccurring nightmare. I get up. Oh no. I think the alarm went off and I forgot about it. I turned over. I went to sleep. It must be 6:15. Oh, it's 10 after 5. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, 10 after 5. I get up. Fine. Put the cholent on. Clean some pots. It's love time. And then come for 6 o'clock. You know, that's a concern. I'm concerned. Imagine, are you concerned about davening? So there's a certain anxiety, a good anxiety. There's a proper anxiety. I'm really worried that I'm going to miss davening. It's really terrible. I remember once when Mordechai, he must have been a teenager, I think 15, young. So I think it was Shavuos. I forgot which holiday it was. I don't know. I think it was Shavuos. I remember. He was taking a nap in the bedrooms, and some of the bedrooms in our house like kind of removed from the main part. So I had gone early to do some other things in the shul, and he took a nap, whatever, he's up the whole night, whatever. And he doesn't sleep much as it is, right? And somebody forgot to wake him up. The next thing we woke up, it was Yom Tov was over. So he missed Marv with a minion. He went ballistic. He was crying. It was this, it was that. It was like unbelievable. He missed Marv with a minion. And it was like, he woke up late. It was like 11, you know, and Matzah Yontif, there's no second minions. You know, he was like, so the person who waited, he was like crying, bitter tears. So that person has anxiety to miss a minyan. Do you understand? Now, somebody else puts, you know, he says, okay, I'll go to sleep. I get up. I don't. So now you get up. You happen to get up that day. How should Hashem reward you for that? You're worried like a person who, you know, as if he wasn't commanded, because it didn't make a difference. How much worry did you have when he went to bed? It all shows the care and the concern that the person has to get the mitzvah done. And the point is, you know, there's a certain amount of spiritual growth and development that comes by having a sense of obligation and having to be connected and knowing that it's crucial to my existence. It's not so much an aspect of how beautiful the mitzvah is if I'll do it, which is true, but it's also how much will I be missing if I don't do it? How much will I be lacking if I don't do it? And it's that urgency and it's that sense of understanding of how bound and necessary it is to the mitzvah, going into the mitzvah, that makes these distinctions over here. So if Huttner says, he explains this idea, he says, there's no doubt that when a person does a mitzvah, he'll be rewarded for it. And no aver can diminish a mitzvah. No way. But when a person does an avera, he has weakened the sense of urgency and obligation in his connection to Hashem. You can't tell me that the mitzvahs I did before had urgency if you can start around doing averas. What does it mean when you do an avera? Avera said, it's not such a big deal if I'm close to Hashem or not. It's not such a big deal. I'm not so concerned. I'm not so concerned about my relationship with Hashem. What about all those mitzvahs you did the last couple of weeks? I'm not so concerned anymore. So now what happens to those mitzvahs? Those mitzvahs, the fire's off. Finished. You know, make a simple analogy and we'll end with this. We're in the middle. We'll have to continue this next week. Yeah. Can you imagine a husband gives his wife gifts and is nice to her, does everything for years and years, nice guy, everything. And then one day he has an affair. Okay, how's the wife going to look back at all the other things he did for her? It's less than zero. You know? Before he had the affair, she remembers, what a nice husband I have. Every time she looks at him, I remember the time he gave me breakfast. I remember the time he bought me this thing. I remember the time. Every time she looks at him, she feels warm and fuzzy. It's a collective warm and fuzzy. Because all the things he did, you know, not only did he become a better husband, he was someone I feel very close to. And then she finds out he has an affair. Says, well, you know, the truth is, he's a wonderful guy. I feel warm and fuzzy for all the wonderful things he did. And this is a separate thing. No. But what he's saying is, this relationship was never a serious relationship. And then all the other things. Whoa. Finished. The light is out. That's what Hashem looks at. The light is out. And that connection to Hashem is out. And that's the terrible loss that happens when a person doesn't have air. And you want that back. You need that back. And now we'll continue next week. Now we're going to understand why you need to daven. You got to bring those mitzvahs, got to relight those mitzvahs. You need to ask Hashem for that forgiveness, because it's not just, Hashem's going to punish me for this one avera, forgive me for this one avera. It's much worse than this. You've lost this part of the recreating the new world. That whole world of mitzvahs that I had, it's out, the fire's out. Hashem will have to reward me somehow. You know, just like when the wife divorces the husband, so that there's sometimes monetary compensation for the fact that, the person helped you out, but I want nothing to do with you. So Hashem will say, okay, I'll throw you some bones in Olam Haba. And just here, far away, get far away from me. Here, enjoy yourself. Watch a hockey game in Olam Haba. Get out of here. You know, that's your Olam Haba. But with me, there's no fun. That's a terrible, terrible thing. That's why you need to do tshuva. And that's why people have a big trouble coming out to Shabbos and enjoying Shabbos. Because we come into Shabbos with averus. So how can you enjoy the Shabbos? Shabbos is being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you come to the Shabbos being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you come with your averus? These averus have extinguished all the mitzvahs. How do you come close to Hashem on Shabbos? And look at all the mitzvahs I did. When you light the candles on Shabbos, the mitzvahs light up. Ooh, you feel good. But how can you do that when you got all those averus coming in? That's why the rabbis tell us it's so important every Erev Shabbos to do tshuva. Every Erev Shabbos to do tshuva. You got to spend time. If you're coming in the door at 4:21, you ain't doing much tshuva on that Erev Shabbos. You may be lighting the candles, but your neshama isn't lighting up. You have to make sure to give yourself a good half an hour of doing tshuva before Shabbos comes, so that when you do light the candles, your neshama lights up. Otherwise, the Shabbos, you're struggling to try to appreciate that Shabbos. Okay, have a good Shabbos.